All right, we're going to start this new mini-series. I know we had just done, we were in Mark. We finished that first chapter, which I got to tell you, man, I've loved every minute of it. Just unpacking all this truth that Mark shares with us in chapter one. But I thought it'd be so important, just based on prayer and conversations that I've had with many of you, to talk about, you ready for this? To talk about money. And I know that the minute I mention that, many of you right away, you put your guard up. Oh, great. Came on the wrong Sunday. But before we begin this message and series, I want to preface it with very important two things. And it's this. Number one, in these short few weeks that we're going to just expound on finances and how to be financially free, please in no way, shape, or form think that I am preaching down to you, because I'm not. In many ways, this is me preaching to myself. And you kind of get to hear the conversations that I'm having with God, the struggles, and so don't think that in any way, shape, or form. This is, I'm a work in progress. Got it all together. And number two, first-time guest, especially you think you may have your guard up, and oh, here we go, the church and money. And I'm just going to put this out there, and I mentioned this in the announcements. Do not give. Don't feel pressure to give. That's not what we're about. If anything, learn these incredible principles that God teaches us through His Word. And so now that I've gotten that out of the way, I want to share with you this certain attitude that causes us all to get into financial problems. It's something that I know about myself, I do, and I know that most people have this attitude, and it's this right here. I am satisfied with what I have until you have something that I don't. I'm satisfied with what I have, but the minute I see something that you got that I don't have, all of a sudden I'm not satisfied. It's human nature. We do this. In fact, I had an Apple Watch, and they just released Apple Watch 3. Looks exactly the same as mine, but it has 3G, and you can talk to it now. You can talk in it. You can make phone calls, and so all of a sudden, I don't like this watch anymore. I want the new one. I think back of a moment where a friend of mine invited us to his house. It was back there in Texas. He said, man, I got a new car. You got to come check it out. I want to take you for a cruise. And we went down there, and he owned a GTR. Incredible car. We got in, went up to the freeway. He floored it. The inertia of that whole just pressed me up against the car. I was probably going almost 200 miles an hour, just weaving through traffic, going up and down the spaghetti bowl of the freeway. I kid you not, my life flashed before my eyes. I don't know how many times. The minute we park into his car, the first thing that I think is, thank God I am alive. Second thing, I want one of these. And so I start walking towards my Honda Pilot, and I don't want that Honda Pilot anymore. I feel like I'm driving something like this. That's how my Honda Pilot looks like compared to his. Why? Because he's got something that I don't have. And you know what's interesting, though? It's not just with us. It's with animals as well. And in fact, I want to show you this quick video so you kind of see this experiment that they did. They give some monkeys a task to do and their reward. One of them gets a cucumber. He's cool with it. And then he sees the monkey get something else, and I want you to see his reaction. Would you play that for us? And then would you mind shutting the lights down?
The one on the left is the monkey who gets cucumber. The one on the right is the one who gets grapes. The one who gets cucumber knows that the first piece of cucumber is perfectly fine, the first piece he eats. Then he sees the other one getting grape, and he will see what happens.
I'm satisfied with what I have until you have something that I don't. And what I'm describing to you here is the root of so many financial fiascos, fights, foolishness, and frustration. And some of us here are in major debt right now because it has been so easy to get caught up with this attitude. We went to someone's house. We saw their amazing big screen TV, but we weren't satisfied with ours anymore. We wanted that one. Their house, their car, jewelry. We see all these things that other people have, and what do? It causes us not to be satisfied with what we currently have. And so what do we? We end up busting up our fat finances, trying to keep up with the Kardashians. And as a result, get this. 64% of couples fight over money. A quarter of baby boomers, that's over 19 million older people, have less than $1,000 saved. College students graduate with an average of $30,000 in student loans. And more people are declaring bankruptcy. One of the leading causes of divorce is money. And so it's obvious that for most of us, we are not handling our finances well. We've got a system. Whether you know this or not, you have got a system. And it's not working. And a lot of it has to do because of this attitude of, I am satisfied with what I have until you got something I don't. But I have got some good news for us all. Today, as we begin this new series, The Dollars and Cents of Financial Freedom, I believe this with all my heart. In the next few weeks, we're going to learn how to get completely financially free so that we can position ourselves to receive God's blessings. I know that there are marriages maybe that are here that are hanging on a thread right now that are going to be saved. There are people that have small businesses that are going to have a new future. And I believe we will all begin to experience our financial picture turning around for the better. We're going to move from living in fear to freedom. We're going to sleep better at night, and we're not going to have to live from paycheck to paycheck anymore. In other words, we're going to finally begin to have peace in our finances. And so please, try not to miss a week in this series. I know it's going to be painful at times, but you know what? We're going to lift each other up. We're going to encourage one another. We're in this together. We're a family. We're a church. All right? So let's begin. And we're going to begin by talking about what is true and what is a lie. So if you're taking notes, write down these two attitudes. First is that we have fallen for lies because they sound like truth. And then we're dismissing the truth because it sounds like a lie. We're falling for these lies because they sound so good. It sounds so true. And then we're completely dismissing the truth because that doesn't sound like it's true. It sounds like a lie. So let's start with some of the financial lies that many of us, including myself, have fallen for. Number one, lie number one. All the church is interested in is my money. All the church cares about is my money. You ever heard this before? I grew up in a Catholic home, and so anytime you ventured outside of the Catholic faith, it was looked down upon. I remember I was about 16 years old. I was living with my grandparents, and they were devout Catholics. And I went into my grandma's room. I was just excited to tell her, Grandma, a friend of mine invited me to church, and I'm going to go to church. Not, I'm going to go to a bar, I'm going to go to a party, nothing like that. I'm going to go to church. And I thought I was going to make her happy. And her very first question was, well, what church are you going to? And I tell her the name, and because it didn't start with a saint, well, then she knew right away it wasn't a Catholic church. And so she called me out on it. That's not a Catholic church. You shouldn't be going to the church like that. They're just going to brainwash you. Just all they want is your money. That's what she told me. And I looked at her. I said, Grandma, I don't have any money. Now, I don't blame her or any of you for thinking this way, especially when you got some of these prosperity preachers out there. I read one that sent out an email to his congregation saying that he needed a multi-million dollar private jet so that he can talk with God in peace. And so I read that and I'm like, seriously? Come on. And so I get why many of you would believe that all the church wants is your money, but I want to share this with you about Christ Community Church. And this is the truth. There's only a very small percentage of people that give. Only a handful. And I've said this before, and just in case you don't know, I don't know who gives, and I don't know what they give. That's none of my business. That's between you and God. But if the church was all about money, then shoot, I'd want to know who's the people that are giving. And those that are giving, you best believe I'm going to spend all day and night wanting to minister to them. Forget about everybody else. Impossible, maybe we send them some monthly dues. That's not the case, though, right? No one came in a cover charge. No one got a stamp to come in. You didn't receive an invoice in the mail saying, hey, you were here at two services and your kids were down there for three services and they did crafts and they ate some snacks and here's the bill that you owe. You don't get that, right? Why? Church is not about money. Our doors are open to everyone. And we minister to everyone. But try doing that, say, at a movie theater. Just walk in, sit down, watch a movie, and walk out. Don't pay. See what happens. Or go to a restaurant. Go to a Starbucks. Get a coffee. Get some snacks. Just grab some and walk out and see what happens. Businesses are about money. Church is about ministry. Business, consumers, church, seekers, and worshipers. And I want to share this with you, that our church exists in a large part to give itself away. What comes in goes back out to the community. It goes back out here to the building. We're making changes. We want to make your experience a lot more better. And so we're just constantly giving ourselves away. And here at Christ Community Church, I want you to know this. Because of your giving, just this year alone, right here, we have given away thousands upon thousands of dollars to people in need, to people who needed to pay bills, to help those that couldn't put food on the table. I mean, all sorts of compassionate causes. And get this, our books are open to anyone. We're completely transparent. You want to see where every dollar is going? Absolutely. It's open for you. After all, this is your church. Now, maybe you're here and you're thinking, but this is a church. Why talk about money? Why not just keep it about grace and forgiveness and love and peace and just kind of just leave money out of the picture? Well, how loving and caring of a pastor would I be if I didn't share with you all of what Jesus says? And yes, he talks about money and he talks about responsibility and he also shows us how to be financially free. And if I didn't share that with you, then what kind of pastor would I be? In this series, you're going to see that our purpose is not to get something from you. It's to share something with you, to give something for you. And so I desperately want us all to be financially free because that is what God wants for every one of us. Okay? So big lie number one, church just wants your money. Lie number two, more money more things are going to make me more happy. That's a big, big lie many of us believe. More money, more things are going to make us more happy. There's a guy, rapper, name's Biggie Smalls. I like the way he put it. It's total lie, but he didn't say more money, things make me more happy. You know what he said? More money, more problems. Solomon, considered wisest man that ever lived, wealthiest man that ever lived, made Bill Gates and Carlos Slim look like their bank account is just that, slim. Look what he says about it. Ecclesiastes 5:10. Whoever loves money never has enough. And whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. Right after the service, guy comes up to me. He says, you know what? I just read on a survey, Wall Street Journal. They talk to these financial advisors, wealthy guys. And they ask, what would it take for you to be financially set for life? He said, every single one of those guys, whatever their income was, double it. So if they made $3 million, they said, well, if I could just make $6 million a year, I'd be great. One of them, $10 million. I just make $20 million, I'd be fantastic. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. That is a scary thought. And deep down, we all know this to be true. And yet, after the service, we're going to walk out of here thinking to ourselves, man, if I just made a little bit more money, I'd be happier. If I won the lotto, whew, gosh, I would do this, and I would get this, and get everyone. If I could just buy a house, a vacation home in Florida, I'd be... We'll all continue to think this. I know I will. And because of these thoughts, I have made dumb decisions and I've bought into this lie of more money, more things are going to make me more happy. Listen to the way that the actor Jim Carrey puts it. Wealthy gentleman, famous, you would think has it all. Look what he says. I think everyone should get rich and famous and do everything they've ever dreamed so that they can see that is not the answer. In other words, don't believe the lie that more money and more things are going to make you more happy. It's not true. Lie number three. It's my money, and I can do what I want to. Heard of this one? It's my money, I can do what I want to. I'm the one who puts the hours. I do the work. I've earned it, so I get to do whatever I want. It's my money. And that's what most people believe. And you know what? During the time of Jesus, people believed the same thing. And so in Matthew 25, this is how Jesus addresses this attitude. He tells this story and he says, you want to live with this attitude of it's your money and you can do what you want? Well, this is what he shares with us. Matthew 25, 14, 15. He said, it's going to be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with wealth to them. And one he gave 5 bags of gold, and each bag is worth about 30,000. So he gives one 5 bags, and another he gives 2 bags, and then another he gives 1 bag according to his ability. And then he went off into his journey. Now notice it says the man entrusted his wealth to them. So who owned the money? Is it the workers? It's the owner. Workers are managing his money. Who's the owner? Well, let's look at, as we go into truth number one, that most people believe is a lie, and it's this. We are not owners, but managers. We're not owners of anything, we're managers. And I know this sounds like a lie, but it's true, we're managers. And the underlying point Jesus is trying to make is that the owner in this story represents God. And God has given each and every one of us amounts of resources, gold, per se, property, stuff, to manage. God is the owner. You and I are managers of this. We didn't give ourselves the ability. We didn't give ourselves the talent. We didn't give ourselves the health to continue. This is all from God. And this attitude that Jesus is sharing, you know what? The first church had this attitude down pat. Look what they did in Acts 4:32-35. They, the church, felt what they had owned was not their own. In other words, their managers. And so they shared everything that they had. And I love this part right here. It's just so powerful. They shared everything that they had, that there were no needy people among them. Because, what did they do? Those who own land or houses would sell them and bring money to the apostles to give to those in need. How powerful of a picture is that? There was no needy people. They went to the extent of selling what they own so that they can help those in need. Now, that's some radical stuff. And I'm not going to stand up here and say, hey, everyone, this week, bring your titles, bring your deeds, bring them all together, and then we'll kind of just sort things out, because many people wouldn't show up, including myself. It's the principle I don't want you to miss. And that is, they understood completely that they weren't owners of anything, that they were managers, and great, great, great managers they were, because they were constantly looking to the owner for cue. And whenever we have that kind of attitude, and it takes root in a community of people, let me tell you, lives are changed. Hungry are fed. People far from God find Jesus. And if you think, well, I still believe I'm the owner, then I want you to do me a favor. After service, I want you to go home. I just kind of look around your house, furniture, whatever you own. Just kind of look around what you have. And I want you to ask yourself this question. When you leave this world, because we all will, which of those things would you be able to take with you? Nothing. That's why there's that old phrase, you're never going to see a hearse pull up a U-Haul trailer. All the stuff that you think you own, maybe get divided amongst your kids, maybe they're going to fight for it, end up on Craigslist for sale, it's going to be out there somewhere. Remember this truth, we're not the owners, we're managers. Truth number two, we're responsible to advance the owner's goals and not our own. So we've seen in this story, the owner comes in, he blesses the workers, the managers, with bags of gold. He entrusts them with this. And what did these guys end up doing with what they were entrusted with? Well, look at Matthew 25:16-18. The man who received five bags of gold went at once, didn't procrastinate, didn't think about it, didn't try and convince himself out of it. He went at once and put his money to work. In other words, it was kingdom focused. He put his money to work, and what ended up happening? He gained five more bags. And so also the one who had two bags of gold did the same thing, and what happened to him? What was the result? Well, he gained two more bags. But the man who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. First two accepted the challenge, put the owner's money to work to accomplish the owner's goals. Third one, what did he do? He thought, I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to hide it in my account where I know where it is. In other words, he's tight-fisted. Never mind what the owner wants. Never mind what's important to him. I'm going to keep it nice and safe where I know where it's at, under my mattress. So my question for you is this. What does this look like for you? Who are you in this story? The owner has blessed you with resources and gifts and talents. Have you put this into play to advance the owner's interest? Or are you just kind of hiding it on your own? Is it just for you to keep safe? Because basically, there are five things that we can do with anything we receive, with financial gifts that we receive from God. These are the five things we can do. One, spend it. Great at that. I'm very good at that. Two, pay debt. We don't like to pay debt, but when we want things we can't afford, we get into debt so we can get them and then try and pay it later. And so that's the debt that happens. Three, pay taxes. Uncle Sam's going to get his. Four, maybe we try and save it. And five, hardly ever give it away. Give it to God, give it to others. And so generally, this is the way we prioritize money right there. We pay. We spend it for ourselves, pay a little debt, taxes, maybe, just maybe, give it away. And another way to look at this truth of how we handle it is this right here. It's all about me. It's for me. We, me again, and maybe God and others. Christian perspective. Even if you're not a Christian, put others last. Everyone else gets the leftovers. And even though we prioritize money in this way, it does not prevent us from asking God to bless our finances, right? How many times have we said, God, man, I got to sell this house. Please make it happen. Lord, I need this job. Would you open up an opportunity, a door, or something just so that I can get this new job, a raise, a new car? God, help me, help me, help me. And he says, help you with what? You say, I just want to do some me, for me, maybe some we and me. And last but not least, maybe some for you. Now, I don't believe anyone here today intentionally tries to put God last, but because of the order in which we have been handling our finances, get nothing left. And again, God's working in this area in my life as well. And some of you may push back. You say, well, I don't have God last. I'm maybe second or third, but God needs to be number one in every area of your life, especially our finances. He is God. He is the owner. And we are blessed to even be managers. And so the order of me, me, we, me, and God is wrong. And here's what the Bible teaches. And it's this right here. God's first place. Then we save. We pay our taxes. We pay our debts. And we live on the rest. Those are the priorities the Bible teaches. And I want you to see Proverbs 3:9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first, number one, with the first fruit of all your crops. The idea is that God comes first in our lives in everything that we do. We got to honor him. And to put this in a practical way, I don't know, this is the best way that I can put it. So I want you to imagine these are $10 each, okay? And so there's $100 here. There's $100 here that God has blessed me with. This is what he teaches us. He's given. He's blessed me with $100. And this is all he's asking for. First 10 goes back to you. It keeps this connection. It keeps us putting him in priority. It's so important. He says, first 10 is you. And you know what he says? The rest is for me to keep. The 90 is for me to keep. He says, the 90 are yours to keep. And he wants us to do something very important because he thinks about our future and he thinks about our family. He says, just the other 10, just put away to save. That's it. First, God. Second 10, just save. Just put away for your future. The 80, pay your bills, live the rest of your life, however you want to live it. It's the 10-10-80 plan. It's the system, the Bible shows us and teaches us. First 10%, honor God, tithe. Second 10, pay ourselves, we save it. And then we live with the other 80%. Food, fun, bills, everything else comes under the 80. God gets first dibs, and we pay ourselves, and the rest is for everything else. And let me tell you all something. You may think that sounds crazy, but there are people in this room that live this way, and they will be the first to tell you that because they live in this order, they are completely financially free. I want to encourage you, start this process today. And you may say, man, I already got so much debt, and I don't even know how I'll be able to do that. Let me tell you, don't get discouraged. It's a process, but it has to start today. And the minute you start living this way, you will see financial freedom. Let me show you how Jesus ends this story. Owner goes off on a trip, returns, checks with the people, see how they've managed the resources. Matthew 25:19 says, after a long time, master of the servants returned, and so it's time to settle the accounts. First two, we saw, doubled. They were thinking kingdom perspective, right? God, you're the owner. You've blessed me. These are the results. Look how God responds to that. Verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and because of it, here's the result. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The owner says, great job. I will bless you with more. I will entrust you with more. Now let's go celebrate. Which leads us to point number three. It sounds like the biggest lie of all. Giving to God is the only way out of my financial problems. Doesn't that sound like it sounds like the biggest lie of all, right? Giving to God is the only way out of my financial problems. If anything sounds like a lie, it's this one right here. But friends, I have no doubt that this is the truth. And if you notice in the story, to the faithful managers, he says, I have put you in charge of a few things. Now I want to put you in charge of more things because you've been faithful. He says, I can entrust you with more. Now listen to what Jesus says. Luke 6:38. Jesus is saying this. He says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. When you give to God, He gives back tenfold. You can never outgive God. And He will bless you in unexpected ways. And He says, you can rest assured, I'm going to bless you so much it's going to be pressed down. It's going to be shaken. It's going to get to the point where it's just spilling on over. And what many people miss in this story is Jesus tells us when the manager's focus were in the interest of the owner, it doubled and tripled. When it was solely focused on themselves and they were hiding it for themselves, what happened? He lost it all. Look what he says in verse 26:30. To the one who hid it for himself, he says, you wicked, lazy servant, take that bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags and throw this worthless servant outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friends, Jesus can't be any clearer. We will be held accountable to the owner. One day we're going to have to answer to God for the way that we've used His resources. And so in closing, you get a chance. I want you to look over this passage. Look how many times master is said. 8 times. All 3 of the guys say master, master. Yet 2 truly lived like God is the master. And that one guy who was sent out into darkness, gnashing of his teeth, lived like he or the money was his master. We're not owners. We're managers. And we're responsible to advance the owner's goal, not our own. And giving back to God is the only way out of financial problems. That is the first major step to finding financial freedom. Would you bow your heads for prayer? Father in heaven, Lord, difficult, challenging subject. And so first and foremost, I pray, Lord, that I shared this to the best of my ability that would please you. Because I know that there's nothing more that you want for your people than to be financially free, Lord, and to really acknowledge the fact that we are managers. We are blessed to be called managers of the many gifts that you have blessed us with. And so, Father, I just pray that we just hold on to that truth and we put you first. And by putting you first, everything else will fall into place. There are people in this room that are chained because of financial struggles and problems, and you want nothing more than to free them. And so, God, that is my prayer for your church, that we would put you number one priority in our lives in every area, especially when it comes to our finances, so that we can begin this process of being financially free. And it's in your precious name, Jesus, that I pray this. Amen.